There's 17, 18 games left in the Detroit Pistons season. It's not the end of the season yet, but I think right now we need to take a moment to talk about the Pistons' future in the offseason real quick. We're going to do that in today's episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast.
You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's the deal? Welcome back to another episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast. Per usual, I'm your host, Coop Cahill. You can find me over on Twitter, at Coop Cahill. I want to thank you guys for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. And if you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Locked On Pistons. Hit that subscribe button or leave us a five-star review on whatever podcast platform you are listening to us on. That's another great way to support the podcast. So, there's around 17, 18 games left in the Detroit Pistons season. And again, the season is not over, obviously, yet. We haven't gotten to the end of the season yet. And we'll talk much, much more, obviously, about the offseason and the Pistons' future once we get there. But I'm recording this right after the Pistons lost to the Portland Trail Blazers. And I think it's a good time to talk about the future in the offseason, just a tad in this first segment, talk about it and what I believe needs to happen, what should be happening moving forward. We're going to talk about that a little bit to start off, and then later on in the podcast, we'll get into some of the things that we saw from the game that was good and bad, obviously. But look, there's a lot of ways I could go with this, and I might be a little all over the place because there's so much to talk about with offseason, so many different directions that you could possibly take. But the main point I want to get across is this. There's a lot of talk amongst the fan base about what the expectations are for next season. There's a lot of talk about that. And some people believe playoffs is a must. Some people believe it's playoffs or bust or Weaver's being fired. Some people think, oh, you just need to see a little bit of improvement. Some people think you need to be at least in the play-in. Some people believe you need to be competing for the play-in. Wherever you land on that, I don't think there's a lot of people believe playoffs are bust when it comes to firing people. I don't think a lot of people believe that. But wherever you fall on that, I think we can all agree with this. Or actually, maybe not all agree with this. I think a lot of people would agree with this. And this is how I feel. After watching this team so far this year and seeing this team's roster construction and seeing some of the guys on this team, I seriously believe this. I believe that this team does not need a major free agent addition. I don't think this team needs a major trade addition to the roster. I don't think they need that. I think you could bring back the same young core. I think you can bring back Cade Cunningham next year, Jaden Ivey, Jalen Duren, Isaiah Stewart, Killian Hayes, and Isaiah Lewis. I think you could bring all six of those guys back next year and fill the roster out around them with players that actually make sense in this team. Could easily win 35 games next year. I think they could be this year's Orlando Magic. I think that would be a big improvement. The Pistons currently have 15 wins. They're probably going to end this season with like 20 wins, maybe even lower than 20 wins. To expect them to jump 20 games in one offseason, that doesn't happen. Anyone that expects that to happen, it just doesn't happen like that. That kind of stuff doesn't happen unless you're getting LeBron James or someone in the offseason, unless you're like the 2012 Miami Heat or 11, whatever happened. That kind of thing doesn't happen. But through one offseason, if you actually make this team makes sense, roster makes sense, lineup makes sense, I think they could be this year's Orlando Magic, where they're competing for a play-in spot. They maybe even make a play-in spot, but they're competing for a play-in spot. They're not a team you can just take lightly. They don't get pushed around. They're not a bottom three team in the league. They're respectable, and they fight for a play-in spot, maybe even end up in the play-in. I think you could do that with those six players and simply making the roster around them make sense. And what do I mean by make sense? Well, let's take this Portland game, for example, and it's not something just from this Portland game. It's something that we have seen all season with this squad. And it's something I've talked about at multiple points throughout the season with this roster. This roster does not make sense. Even if Cade was healthy, this roster did not make sense. This roster did not make sense lineup-wise. And that was the goal. I told you guys before the season, that was what the goal of this was to be. People didn't believe it. And I'm sure there's people out there that still believe that if you just add Cade to this, this team's all of a sudden a playoff team. I think that's delusional. But I think you see now at the end of the year, most people can agree that this was the plan for this season, to bring the young core back. The roster maybe not make as much sense. You're going to lose a bunch of games because of it, and you're in the Wemby Scoop sweepstakes. You get another top pick to add to your arsenal, another top pick to add to the core, and you can come back the following year and try to get better. I think that was the plan beforehand. I told you guys that before the season started. I think you saw that plan play out throughout the season. With or without Cade Cunningham, I feel like that was going to be the case. Cade's not filling all these issues. But now that we're going into another offseason soon, like 17 games away from it, I think it's fair to talk about what it is they would need to do to actually get better. And again, I think they can bring back those six players and simply add a wing that can play defense, because their wing defense is the worst in the entire NBA. It's awful. It's putrid. Add a wing that can play defense. Go away, completely end this two big man lineup with guys who can't rebound, can't defend, and can't shoot. You can't do two bigs that do those three things. It just can't happen. So go away from that two big BS. Go away from that. And if you do try to do two bigs next season, they have to be able to rebound. One of them at least has to be able to space the floor, and the other one has to defend. Like, you can't have weaknesses at all three of those spots when you're starting two bigs, which they had in this game against Portland with Marvin Bagley and James Wiseman, like we've seen when they were starting Marvin Bagley and Isaiah Stewart. It just wasn't happening. You can't do that. You can't go into next season expecting that to be your big man front court. Like, that's just not going to happen. They need to have a player next to Jalen Duren that can defend and shoot the basketball. Maybe it's Wemby. Maybe they get lucky and get number one and get Wemby. Everything changes. But even without Wemby, heck, I wouldn't have a problem with even starting Isaiah Livers next to Jalen Duren. A guy who can shoot the ball and defend. But overall, that's my point. Next to Ivy, Cade, and Duren, you simply just need to plug the two spots with a wing that can defend, space the floor, and a four who can either defend, who can shoot, or help rebound the basketball. You can, if you just simply add that into that lineup, you bring back Cade, another improving offseason from Jane Ivey and Jalen Duren. I think that's a nice starting lineup. I don't think it's blowing anybody out the water. I don't think it's a superstar team. I don't think it's a championship team. But could that lineup be a starting lineup for a team that wins 35 games? Yes, I think that could be a starting lineup that can do that. So there you go. Now you got three of the six players I'm talking about. Then off the bench, you can run Killian, Stu, Wiseman. If you don't want to start Livers, you can bring Livers off the bench. Those four guys, they make sense together. They make sense together. Stu is theoretically a guy who can shoot. If you believe he actually is a fine shooter and he can get back to where he was before he hurt his shoulder, I don't blame you for believing that. He can be the spacer at the four position. You run James Wiseman as your five. He's your center, who is the lob threat, the interior presence, who can put pressure on the rim. You got Killian, who is the playmaker, who initiates the offense, good defender, point of attack defender. You got Isaiah Livers, who can space the floor and is a good defender. And then at that two spot, get another point of attack defender that can space the floor. You don't need some guy who's going to come in and try. I mean, you could do this, but you don't need a guy who can come in and try to score 20 a game off the bench. You simply need a guy that can plug in, play defense, and spread the floor and make good passes, be good connectors. Though that 10-man roster, that little rotation right there, actually would make sense. And that doesn't include having to make big moves. Those aren't like superstars. You don't have to add stars. You don't have to go make or sign $25 million players. You don't have to go make big trades. You don't have to give up on the whole young core. You don't. You can bring them, most of them, all back. You can just bring them back. And if you make the pieces around them actually make sense, will they be a superstar team? No. Will they be a top eight team? No. But could they win 35 games? I think so. Could they push for the play-in? I think so. In the best case scenario, could they actually make the play-in and win a game in the play-in next year? I think so. I really don't think that this team's problem, I don't think this team's problem is the fact that they need to go get superstars or stars, even though obviously if you're talking about championships, they need to do that. But in order to take that next step in their development of like becoming like a 35-ish win team that pushes for the play-in, tries to make the play-in, maybe makes the play-in, they don't need some big changes. They just simply need to make lineups make sense. They simply need to put pieces around players that make sense. There's no reason why Jane Ivey should be playing a game where there's no spacing on the floor. There's no reason why that Jane Ivey or Cade Cunningham should be playing on the floor with no player that can put pressure on the rim like they were. Cade was at the beginning of his rookie season last year. There's no reason why they shouldn't play with spacing. There's no reason why they shouldn't be playing with a guy who can put pressure on the rim. There's no reason why they shouldn't be playing with a guy on the wing that can guard anybody. There's no reason. I'm telling you guys this right now. If they simply had a good wing defender in their starting lineup that can hit threes, like if they had good defense on their wings, this season would have been infinitely better. Like just simply addressing that would have made it a lot better. I don't think this team is as far away as some like doomsday fans are thinking they are from making a play-in. I really don't think so. I think they have six core players that three of them are starters and three of them are good role players off the bench that can fill a role. And if you just fill around them, they could be a play-in team. I don't think they're as far as way, but games like we saw tonight against Portland, and we'll talk about this a little later, that highlight the weaknesses of this roster fit. And just the whole season, they've won 15 games. That highlights the weaknesses of simply the roster construction. I think that's the bigger problem that you should take away from this season. And look, I think that's just what I feel like, man. I really don't feel like they have to make some big changes. I think they just need to make sure this roster makes sense. And I don't think that's too hard to do. They don't have to be great players that you're filling in. Just make it to where the lineups are competent. And then this team could be a play-in team or fight for a play-in next year. I really do believe that. I don't think they're as far away as some fans seem to think. But let me know what you guys think about that. Comment section down below or over on Twitter at Kukuhil. When we come back, I want to talk about this Portland game where the Pistons again started a two big man lineup. It did not go well. There's a lot of things that didn't go well, but that's one of the things that didn't go well. We're going to talk about all the things that went wrong in this game and what it really highlights for this team moving forward when we come back. But first, I got to tell you guys about one of our sponsors, Built Bar. You're looking for a delicious treat, but don't want all the fat and calories, then you got to try a Built Bar. We just got through the holidays. I know my goal is to eat a little healthier this year. If you're like me where you want to eat healthier but don't want to compromise the taste, then man, I got the thing for you. You got to try Built Bar. With Built, healthy is actually tasty. Seriously, they're so delicious, you won't think they're good for you, but they are. Perfect for your New Year's resolution. What makes Built Bar so good? Well, for starters, they're covered in 100% real chocolate. That's right, real chocolate. And they come in unbelievable flavors like churro, peanut butter brownie, and coconut almond. I'm not sure how Built does it, but these bars taste like a candy bar while maintaining amazing macros. And what's even better is that they're healthy for you. Only 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, and with a whopping 17 grams of protein. And now you don't need to wait around to get a box. For years, we've been telling you to go to Built.com to get your Built Bars, but now you can go to Walmart or Sam's Club to get your Built Bars. That's right. Head to your nearest Walmart, walk to the pharmacy section, and grab yourself a box of Built Bars. You can pick up a 4-bar box of cookies and cream, double chocolate, or coconut puffs. Or if you're close to the Sam's Club, run in, grab a 13-bar box with our hit flavors, brownie batter, and churro. You can thank me later. So you can go to Built.com, you can go to Sam's Club, or you can go to Walmart to try the best tasting protein bar out there, Built Bar. So I want to thank you guys again for making Lockdown Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. If you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Lockdown Pistons, hit that subscribe button, or leave us a 5-star review on whatever podcast platform you are listening to this on. That's another great way to support the podcast. Before we continue any further with the podcast, those of you guys watching on YouTube, I changed my setup a little bit, just adjusted my camera, moved things around a little bit. Let me know if you guys like this setup a little bit more than the last one, if you guys like the last setup more than this one. Let me know that in the comment section down below. I'll change it to whatever you guys believe it is. I want to test it out. I think this actually looks pretty cool, but again, just let me know which one you guys prefer, which one's cooler to look at while you guys are obviously listening to the podcast. All right, so in this game against the Portland Trailblazers, remember on the last podcast, I said that the two bigs actually were intriguing against Cleveland because they had two bigs on Cleveland that don't space the floor. They're going to be hanging around the basket. So that means that the Pistons' two bigs were not going to be asked to cover much ground. They could hang around the basket. They could provide weak side rim protection. They don't have to worry about making rotations out on the perimeter. They don't have to worry about overhelping and allowing a guy hit a corner three or a kick out three or whatever. They didn't have to worry about all that. They could just hang around the rim and just provide rim protection with their length and athleticism, which they did. They did do that against the Cavs. Going against Portland, though, that is not the case. And I told you guys I was extremely interested to see if, one, they would go with the two big man lineup, and two, how it would look against a team that doesn't have two bigs that can't shoot and actually does try to space the floor, and did not look good at all. The Pistons' main problem when they try to go with these two bigs, this is the major problem that they have to address in this offseason. And it's not going away from just a few, 3 good games from a player. It's not going away from a good 2 games from a player. It's not going away with a career night from a player. These are problems that will exist throughout a season, no matter if it has a few highs against some random teams. Okay, their main issue is that their two bigs more than 80% of this season. Heck, I almost want to go to 100%, but I won't go all the way to that extent. But most of the season, when they try to run two bigs, their two bigs are not actually bigs, and they don't rebound the ball well, they don't play good defense, and they don't space the floor. When they were starting Marvin Bagley and Isaiah Stewart, they couldn't rebound the ball at all. You had Dwayne Casey coming out and saying he might as well start Kojo. If we're not going to rebound the basketball, I might as well start Kojo. What's the point of starting two bigs? Like, we got that quote from him because they couldn't rebound the ball. They also couldn't play defense, so that didn't work. When you start Marvin Bagley and James Wiseman, your leading rebounder until the very end of the game was 8 rebounds. They're halfway through the fourth quarter, and their leading rebounder was Hamidou Diallo with 6 rebounds halfway through the fourth quarter. Like, that's pitiful. It just isn't happening. And you're starting two bigs. It's pitiful. It's not good. Plus, then you add on to the fact that neither of them can shoot. It's just, and then they also, neither of them are good defensively. It's just a recipe for disaster. Recipe for disaster. Especially against a team that doesn't have two bigs that you can't just hang around the rim with. So that's the biggest issue for the Pistons, is that they want to run two bigs. And that's fine. I get it. It makes sense because a lot of the teams in the East, especially the top teams in the East, run two bigs. But the problem is that the teams that run two bigs in the East, outside of Cleveland, their bigs can either spread the floor or play defense out on the perimeter and hang with guys on the perimeter. Giannis with the Bucks. Giannis and Brook Lopez. Brook Lopez spaces the floor out. Giannis is one of the best defenders, if not the best defender in the entire NBA. Okay? And the only reason why Cleveland gets away with it is because their two bigs are insanely elite defensively, and their two guards are insane offensively. That's how they get away with it. So this game against Portland and almost every other game of the season has illustrated that the Pistons simply do not have the capabilities to really run a two big man lineup that makes sense and works on the floor. I know people are going to say, well, what about Durant and Stu? That lineup doesn't work either. I don't care what anyone says. I don't care if people are high on Stu. I don't care. That lineup is not working next year if you're trying to win games or you're trying to get better. It's just not going to happen because those guys aren't actually big. Durant's just a little bit taller than Stu. They're still too tiny against guys. Guys just tower over them. That's just not going to happen. It's not going to work. So if you want to run two bigs, Troy Weaver, if you want to run two bigs, Dwayne Casey, if that is what you try to do next year, please make it. Please do it to where it makes sense. You can't just throw two guys over 6'10 out there and be like, "Oh, there you go, two bigs." Like that's just it's not going to work. It has to make sense. At least theoretically, it has to make sense. At least Stu theoretically makes sense. A guy who can space the floor and play defense. Like theoretically, that made sense theoretically. So you can kind of live with that on the floor somewhat in a season. That's my biggest takeaway from this game, is that they have to stop. I think they have to come to the realization that this two big man stuff, they simply don't have the roster for it this year. They simply don't. And by doing this, you're hurting everyone else on the floor. You're hurting them. Jaden Ivey was 4-14 this game. Jaden Ivey was 4-14 last game. Killian Hayes was 2-7 last game. When you start two bigs who cannot shoot the basketball and they're not making up for it by being great defenders or great rebounders, all you're doing is hurting your defense, hurting the rebounding, and hurting your guards because they have no spacing. If you think Jaden Ivey is just all of a sudden struggling from the floor, shooting 28% over his last two games because, I guess he just decided to start missing, you're wrong. That's not why. The reason why he's shooting poorly from the floor is because, well, one, Cleveland's a really good defensive team, but secondly, because they're starting two bigs who can't shoot. And the biggest, and honestly, one of the biggest reasons why it doesn't work when you try to run two bigs who can't shoot with this team, because they have no idea how to use two bigs who can't shoot. They don't have a plan. James Wiseman got 3 3-second violations tonight simply because it's quite clear they don't have a clear-cut plan on how to use him on offense outside of him just posting someone up. He'll go set a screen, and then he'll dive into the paint and post up and demand for the ball on a switch. Or if he gets sealed under the rim, his teammates don't want to give him the ball. They're not comfortable with it. He gets a 3-second violation. If he felt comfortable with what his role was, he knew what his role was, and they had a clear-cut role for these guys of what they want them to do together on the floor, you wouldn't see that happen. You wouldn't. But all they have really right now is guys just free roaming. They got Bagley hanging around the high post, and then James Wiseman is hanging around the paint. And it's just like, there's no real offense to it. There's no real philosophy to it. There's no roles written out for them. It's just a bunch of freelance. So you combine all that stuff together, it's just recipe for disaster. And that's what you saw tonight. You saw a recipe for disaster. So look, and it's like I said, it's not just the Portland game. This is the key to this whole season. I get it. You want to run two bigs, but it has to make sense. You can't just start two bigs. And this would be the last thing I say. Jalen Duren's dealing with ankle injuries to both his ankles, both of them. I think it's a legit conversation to have that he may miss the rest of the season. We hope he doesn't. But it's a chance he does. And if he does miss the rest of the season, I'm going to make this declaration right now. There is zero possible way, if Duren does not play the rest of the year, that you can go into this offseason, go into next season, assuming that Duren's going to start with another one of the bigs on this roster. Zero way. Because you saw how it looked with Bagley. Awful. You saw how it looked with Stu. Not good enough. And I know the hope is that maybe Wiseman and Duren can fit together. Well, if you don't get to see them play together at all this season to see if it looks good, if you don't get to see it at all, there is no way in living hell you can go into next season with the idea that, oh, we're going to go into it with these guys as our, those two guys as our starters and see if it works. Because we'll have no idea whether it could work or won't work. No idea. So, look, again, I think if Duren misses the rest of the season, I think the two big man lineup is dead with every big man on this roster. And the only way you can possibly do it is if you get Wemby, or if you get another big in free agency, or if you draft a Jairus Walker or something, you want to start him at four, if you want to call him a big, something like that. If you want to do that, then that's the only way it can happen. Outside of that, it's dead with the four big men on this roster. It's not happening. And if Duren doesn't return, there's no way you can plan on it happening with Duren and Wiseman heading into next year, unless you're just trolling. You'd have to be trolling at that point. So is what it is. That's my takeaway from this game, and really that's my takeaway from the whole season. Let me know what you guys think about that. Comment section down below or over on Twitter at Kukahill. When we come back, Isaiah Livers. Coming up, man, Isaiah Livers with 17 points. I think the most impressive player on the floor for the Detroit Pistons today. We're going to talk about him and what he could mean for this team moving forward. We'll talk about that when we come back. But first, I got to tell you guys about one of our sponsors, FanDuel. The midway point, or a little bit over the midway point, of the NBA season is here, and now is the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Because new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000, that's bonus bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Then you can bet on everything from the money line to point scorers to threes drained. And a player prop that I've been telling you guys that I feel comfortable taking the over on, it would have cashed tonight, Jane Ivey over on his assist. In this game against Portland, 13 assists. It would have cashed. That's the one I'm telling you guys got to look out for. Jane Ivey, props, assist, over. Go ahead and take that. That's one of the ones you can do over there. Plus, FanDuel even lets you combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with the same game parlay. So don't miss the chance to get your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn. That's FanDuel.com/LockedOn to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. So I want to thank you guys again for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. If you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Locked On Pistons. Hit that subscribe button or leave us a 5-star review on whatever podcast platform you're listening to this on. That's another great way to support the podcast. Won't be long here. I want to talk about Isaiah Livers. 7 of 12 from the floor, 3 of 8 from deep. 17 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists. Isaiah Livers, I think, has a really good role for this team moving forward. And look, I know on the last podcast we talked about Hamidou Diallo possibly forcing the front office's hands into trying to find a role for him next season. I'm telling you guys this right now, whether they bring Hami back or not, it will not be at the cost of Isaiah Livers. It will not be. They're high in Isaiah Livers, and for good reason. He is the perfect connector. He is the perfect guy you want at the wing when you have two high usage guards. You don't need another high usage guy out in the lineup. You need guys that can connect those two guys, connect everyone else on the floor, provide spacing for everybody else on the floor, and that can defend. And Isaiah Livers does all those things. Now, do I believe he's going to be the starter for the team next year? I don't know. If he starts next year, would I be cool with it? Yeah, I think they should legitimately think about just starting him at that wing position. I think they might have the answer to their three spot already on the roster. I think they just start Isaiah Livers And then if they trade Bojan Bogdanović for another first round pick, start that pick at the four, or bring that pick, whoever you trade, and pick whatever, bring him off the bench. But I think Isaiah Livers, this is the thing with Isaiah Livers, and people, there's going to be a lot of people who feel like, oh, he only averages like 5-6 points, blah, blah. Why are you freaking out over Isaiah Livers? All that kind of stuff. That's dumb. It's dumb. Isaiah Livers is, like I said, he's the perfect glue guy for your starting lineup. He's not going to do things he can't do. He's not going to try to do things he can't do. He's going to play defense. He talks on defense. He's a good defender. He can switch on the perimeter. He can bang down low. He's effort on the glass. He can help on the glass. On offense, he moves the ball around. He knows either I'm going to take an open shot, drive a closeout, or keep the ball moving. It's nothing else. There's no ISO stuff. There's no over dribbling. And if he has an open shot, he's going to take it, and most of the time, he's going to hit it. Isaiah Livers is a really damn good piece to have. And if it's not with the Pistons, it will be for someone else. It will be for another team that he's a quality player for starting-wise. He'll never be a guy that averages 20 points a game. He's like one of those players. But he's exactly the kind of player that teams want on the wing when they already have high usage players at other positions, and all they're looking for is simply a guy who can play defense, who's strong, can spread the floor, space the floor, and plays the right way and connect everyone else on the floor. And that's exactly what Isaiah Livers does. He is perfect for this team, for what they need. And whether it's as a starter or as a key piece off the bench, he is a key piece of the future for this team. He's not untouchable. He's not going to be the star, but he has a key piece. And that's another thing I actually want to get out the way too, real quick. You can have a key piece of the future without being a star. You don't have to be a star. You don't have to be a starter to have a piece of the future with you on this, on your roster. Isaiah Livers has a role in this team moving forward as a bench player or even as a starter, as the starting three. So does Isaiah Stewart. Isaiah Stewart has a role in this team as a backup four. Doesn't mean he's going to be a superstar, but just because he's not a superstar doesn't mean he can't have a good role on this team moving forward. Doesn't mean he's not important. I feel the same way for Killian Hayes. If Killian Hayes was a backup point guard, you feel fine with that. He's a fine backup point guard to have, especially when you have roster. If you surround those three guys with a guy who can spread the floor and a big that can put pressure on the rim, that lineup makes sense. It's not a superstar lineup, but no one can look at that lineup and be like, oh, that lineup doesn't lack, that lineup lacks spacing, that lineup lacks defense. Like, those guys have a role on this team moving forward. And when you have them on your squad and they're cheap, why don't they have a role for your team moving forward? And you drafted them, they're guys you brought in. Why are you going out and get someone else to replace any of those guys when they can serve the role you need for them off the bench cheap? They have a role on this team moving forward, especially Isaiah Livers. I really do think there's a chance he could be the starting three next year or starting four. Maybe it's the starting four. I could see it. I could see either one happening. So I liked what we saw from Isaiah Livers tonight, but I didn't really want to talk about his game against Portland. I wanted more so talk about his future and why he kind of gives the Pistons a luxury, because they can. I think they would feel comfortable if they decide to go another route with their draft pick or with their signing that they make in free agency signing or signings. They probably feel comfortable with Isaiah Livers if they have to as the wing, starting wings. And it's for good reason. So, yeah, man, that's basically all I've got for you guys today. I do just want to reiterate what we talked about at the very beginning of the podcast. Guys, look, I know this season was 15 wins, okay? And they're at 15 wins right now, and who knows how many more games they'll win. But look, I really don't think that they're as far away from competing for a play-in or possibly getting a play-in spot as the record seems to suggest. Getting Cade back and getting functional role players around them that make sense with what they need, I think, is what was missing from this team. I don't think it's because they're missing talent. I don't think it's because their young core sucks. I think it's because a lot of these guys in the young core are doing things that they shouldn't have to be being asked to do, and a lot of the guys surrounding them just don't make sense with what they need, and it makes the team worse. I think that was done on purpose. Like I told you guys before the year, I thought that was done on purpose for this year particularly. But next year, I don't think you're going to see major moves. I don't think you're going to see crazy changes. I think you're just going to see a roster that makes more sense. And I do think that could be a nice team. I really do. So I know this is a tough season, but try, you know, the number one with the odds with Tankathon in the lottery, okay? That should keep you happy at night. You know what? And to wrap up the podcast, let's just do a lottery sim. Actually, you know what? Let's not let's not talk about what just happened with my results, because that would make you guys very sad. We're just going to wrap the podcast up there. Leave it alone. Thank you guys for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. Free and available on all your podcast platforms. Hit that subscribe button on the YouTube channel. Leave us a 5-star review on whatever podcast platform you're listening to this on. And until next time, I'll see you guys later. Go Pistons, stay safe, and peace out.